This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yet another blast from the past. No, it didn't last with LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, he had previously predicted that all of his sons would play for the Lakers, so that prediction is one that isn't coming true. But, man, it's hard to dispute the results, at least, of his training and the path that he chose for his sons, considering that his two boys, his two sons of the three, both went in the top five. In fact, both went in the top three of their respective NBA drafts. Do you know they are the only brothers in NBA history ever to be selected in the top five of their respective drafts? So Lonzo Ball, chosen by the Lakers at number two, gosh, was it 4 years ago now? And LaMelo Ball, chosen by the Charlotte Hornets at number three. No other brothers, not even brothers from another mother, have ever been chosen in the top five in their respective drafts. And while we didn't exactly know where LaMelo would end up, his path much more atypical. Remember, his dad got upset about the NCAA and the various rules and decided that they weren't going to play college ball. Initially wanted his son to get drafted right out of high school, but that wasn't an option. And so both of his sons went overseas to both of his other sons went overseas to play hoops, and they spent some time in Lithuania and spent some time in Australia. And actually, from some of the pre-draft conversations that I heard, LaMelo said those experiences actually prepared him more for the pro game than he feels like what would have been a year in school that we now know was truncated. So congratulations to the Ball family. I mean, it's hard to quibble with the results as much as we go back to LeVar Ball and his stay in Yo Lane and everything else. Yeah, it's pretty cool thing for the family. We don't hear much from Mama Ball, but congratulations to her too for raising two sons that are both top five draft picks in the NBA. And he's a guy who has shown, similar to his son, some great passing abilities. Also an awkward shot. It's not the same shot, but they both have this kind of odd-looking shot. And the Hornets get a little bit of star power with him. I mean, you may poo-poo that and say, what, who cares? But come on, don't we all know who the Ball family is? Don't we all know where LaMelo Ball comes from? And for him, yes, a dream come true, lots of joy, and he's maybe just the next one to carry the torch. Soon there could be three Ball brothers. This could be the NBA's version of the Watt brothers.
It was beautiful. I mean, we was all downstairs in the room. I mean, the whole room was crying. I couldn't even tell you how much people was, but when they called my name, everybody was cheering, excited. It was a beautiful scene.
So LaMelo and Lonzo, first pair of brothers in NBA history to be drafted in the top five. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bit of an atypical night. While I'm excited for these young men whose dreams have been realized, it's so weird that they're expected to be on the court in a month. A month. So preseason starts in mere days. over the course of Thanksgiving, they're going to get a crash course in the system, in the personnel, especially for these young men who were drafted in the lottery. You're talking about guys that typically would be expected to make a contribution right away, but that's going to be impossible. Most of these guys haven't played basketball in months. But also, it's impossible to learn an NBA's defensive system, a team's defensive system, and to be comfortable with only weeks of preparation. Forget COVID protocols, but you've got that element to it as well. So what did our scout tell us last night? Lower your expectations, not so much for their careers and their futures, but for what we might see from these young men as the NBA tips off. And actually, there's likely to be a bunch of veteran players who are deeply into load management when the season tips off as well. But the downside of Wednesday in the NBA news is finding out that Klay Thompson has injured his other leg. So not the surgically repaired knee. It's not that leg. It's his right leg. He was playing pickup with other NBA guys in Los Angeles, which is where he's from. And he landed on that right leg and instantly had calf pain, could not put weight on it. The fear is a torn Achilles. That's been reported, but it's not been confirmed by the Warriors. They're holding out hope, as you can imagine. I'm holding out hope that that's not going to be the case and that maybe it's a strain or a sprain and not the worst of the worst. But he's supposed to have tests done in L.A. on Thursday, and members of the Warriors have flown from the Bay Area to Los Angeles to be with him so that he's not going through this by himself. That to me was really the bigger story on Wednesday and cast a shadow over everything else that was taking place with this virtual NBA draft. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can find me there. We are going to do some football coming up this hour. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's talk to Steve, who's in Washington, D.C. Hi, Steve. Steve. All right. So Steve decided that he had other pressing matters, which is okay, but I just think maybe hang up the phone. So we don't know that you have other more pressing matters. I mean, it's probably not that funny, but as tired as I am, I mentioned this to start the show, man alive, this has been the worst sleeping week I've had in a really long time. I don't know what's going on with me, but I wake up after a few hours and I cannot get back to sleep. And for those of you who work overnights or you work odd hours, maybe your second shift, maybe you're early. In fact, you might already be awake on your Thursday. You understand that it sometimes can be difficult to navigate odd sleeping hours. And this week has bit me in the rear end badly. And so I feel almost delirious. And I've already apologized for any stupid stuff I might say on the air. So, you know, just nod and smile at me. Or you can laugh at me. That's fine, too. On Twitter, Steve says, Amy, watch what the Heat do. Precious is a workhorse. The Heat wear you down, then kill. Proverbially speaking. The Godfather, Pat Riley, isn't done yet. I like that nickname for Pat Riley, though, full disclosure, I've never seen The Godfather. And every time I admit that, men freak out on me. What, are you kidding? No, I've never seen it. I want to see it. I don't really know what's keeping me from watching it. Nothing urgent, clearly. But I don't really know why. I'm not sure. Maybe because it's one of my claims to fame. One of my quirky revelations that I like to share with people just to shock them. Let's see. Robert on Twitter, a bummer for Klay Thompson, hopefully not as bad of an injury as they expect. Need to see the Splash Brothers healthy together playing. I would second that. I need to see that too. I have no doubt that that will generate more excitement. And let's be honest, the league is suffering in terms of fan interest, in terms of TV ratings. We know that fans aren't able to go to the games, at least initially, as the season will tip off. And so they're suffering in terms of revenue and just buzz. I get it. The Orlando bubble was a huge success. Just the fact that they were able to get all those teams into Orlando, never have a positive COVID test, go through multiple rounds of the playoffs and then crown a champion in what was really intense, well-played basketball between Miami and Los Angeles. To get through that in a bubble, congratulations. I've said it over and over. Lots of people have said it. It was a miracle almost. Same thing for the NHL in crowning a Stanley Cup champion. But no matter how successful, you cannot deny that fewer people, a lot fewer people are watching the NBA right now. I don't know what the ratings will be for the NBA draft. I think there is a bit of a curiosity effect to it, a virtual element that kind of brings people out to see what it looks like. And we know the NFL draft attracted more than 55 million viewers over the course of its 3 days. But that's the NFL. This is the NBA. They're not in the same league. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I had mentioned ratings a little while ago, so I'll tack this on and kind of give you a snapshot of where we are right now using the Masters as the catalyst for this. Sunday on CBS, the lowest final round TV numbers since 1957. Now, this is really extending a trend that we've seen in sports since they returned in July. And I could tell you the broadcast or the TV rating number, but that is kind of arbitrary. So just over 5.5 million viewers for Sunday's final round that was dominated for the most part by Dustin Johnson. He never gave up the lead, though he had a couple of stumbles early in the round. 51% lower than last year. Now, consider that last year it was Tiger Woods winning his first green jacket, his first major in 12 years, or almost 12 years. So there's that element, too. You were going to get a huge boost for Tiger Woods, but even adjusting the figures, which would be inflated for Tiger, who brings more eyeballs and earballs to the broadcast, the previous low was 11 million viewers in 2017. And this is a little more than half of that, but cut almost in half from 2017. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the product was bad. It was obviously running against football once it got toward the second half of that final round. So remember, Fox had the early game. CBS pushed all of its games to the late window, but it was up against the NFL. And it's certainly atypical to have the Masters that early. And so while it was a start time of 10 a.m. in the East, we're talking 7 a.m. on the West Coast. And so that's just different. It's a little out of pattern and out of character for the Masters. We don't generally have to tune in that early to watch the final round. And so the numbers were no different than what we've seen for almost every other sport. And 50% has really become kind of the benchmark. We saw the numbers for the NBA Finals down 50%. We saw the numbers for the Stanley Cup Final down 61%. Major League Baseball down nearly 50%. I think it was 39%, if I remember correctly, for the World Series. Now, the commissioners of all the different leagues have continued to point to a variety of factors for the poor ratings. And they actually believe that not having fans in attendance are a major piece of the puzzle. I think that's interesting because logic would tell you that not having fans in attendance means more people are watching on TV. But it does definitely take away from the atmosphere. So that part I understand. But if you can't go in person, now think about it. 80,000 people is kind of a drop in the bucket. So let's say your NFL stadium's not full. It seats 80,000. Those 80,000 fans who would then be watching at home, it's a drop in the bucket compared to, say, 15 million, right? So it doesn't give you that much of a major boost. But it's interesting that the commissioners of the various leagues point to no fans in the stands or limited capacity as a reason why people are not tuning in. I'm not sure if I buy that, but I suppose it does take away from the energy. Though certainly even 6,000 fans in an NFL stadium we've heard can generate plenty of noise. So then let's look at the NFL as kind of the atypical piece of this puzzle always. So ratings are down, but very little. Do you know that ratings have rebounded since the league initially returned in September? So initially, ratings were down between 15 and 19% when the NFL season kicked off in mid-September. Here we are at the midway point of the season and actually beyond now, and they're only off 6% from a year ago. So the NFL is always the exception to the rule. Always. The NFL is the league that every other sports league out there wants to be like. And come on, don't you think this is stark? You're talking about ratings for almost every other sporting event. The Kentucky Derby, the Masters, which is huge. The NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, the World Series, which was actually in its natural habitat. I mean, neutral site, but it was taking place in late October. All of those are seeing massive drops in viewership. And here's the NFL. It's not been perfect. And no, there aren't fans in the stands in every stadium. And yet it's only off 6%. It's rebounded from where it was in September. And so the ratings are coming up enough that it's a relatively tiny drop in the ratings from a year ago. Now, we still have the finish of the season, the playoffs in January. You would expect there'll be major boosts for the TV networks then. And we're still waiting to see the college season kind of settle in. I don't know if it's going to, but we will have a playoff. At some point, we'll have a playoff. I mean, these are two major draws early in 2021, the NFL postseason and the college football playoff. All but four of the top 30 programs on TV have been NFL games since the season kicked off in September. How about that? Going back to mid-September, all but four of the top 30 programs on TV have been football games. It's the power of the NFL. I'm telling you what, you can say that the league is dying. You can say that no one cares about football. Very few people say that. I mean, sitting in my chair, football drives the bus. But the fact that they're only off 6% in what is the most atypical year for sports that we've ever seen, that's phenomenal. It does speak to the power of the distraction, the escapism, certainly fantasy football, our football culture. I'll put the betting in there as well as more states have opened the door to online sports gambling. But just in general, how many of you have told me you really look forward to NFL Sundays? I know not all of you do. Some of your viewership habits have changed. Some of your viewing habits have changed. But a lot of us still look forward to the NFL because it feels normal. It's still the same drama. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'll get back to your calls. Thanks so much for hanging on. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Also on our Facebook page, I love your responses to the draft 2020 question. Which model do you prefer? The informal atmosphere of Roger Goodell's basement or the bright lights and podium for Adam Silver? They weren't in Brooklyn, but he had a stage set up like you typically would see for an NBA draft. It made to look like he was on the stage in an arena in Brooklyn. Roger Goodell and the NFL didn't bother. They couldn't access the arenas anyway, so instead they just pulled it off in Roger Goodell's basement. And saw this earlier from Dave. Producer Dave said this on the air too, but really funny. He did enjoy his time in Roger Goodell's basement. I don't know if you want to tweet that. I mean, I'm just saying that's a little bit awkward to tweet out there, Producer Dave. So if you're comfortable with that, I mean, by all means, leave it out there on the information superhighway. But
oh no, I'm good. I'm comfortable in my skin. I mean, and Roger Goodell, he's a good guy. I like him.
Yeah, so nice deliciously house. Awkward. I need to know whether or not his drink was spiked. People will say that, but maybe that's the big mystery of 2020 is how much Roger Goodell had to drink.
I don't think there is any doubt whatsoever that he was hammered.
Stop it!
I think the mystery more, if anything, is Rob Manfred. What? I know he can talk about he was hearing himself in his headpiece.
Oh, yeah. What was that? No, that was at the World Series, right? I mean, how could he have been out there getting hammered on the field for all the world to see? There's no way that isn't caught on camera. At least Roger Goodell had the sense to move away from the camera when he wasn't announcing a pick.
Now, do you think Roger Goodell was mixing his own drinks or was someone bringing them to him off camera?
No, I mean, it's a pandemic, man. You can't have someone else mix your drinks. Of course, he has a bar. He had a bar. No, he had a bar right behind that camera where that was set up. You don't have a man cave in a basement that nice without having a mini bar.
It's a good point.
Okay.
I got to get me one of those.
Or a mini fridge. Maybe he was just slugging it. Slugging it? Chugging it?
Either way.
Shrugging it?
He was doing it all.
Jugging it.
He was having fun.
Right out of the bottle.
Whatever
hey,
works.
He was having fun. We were having fun. It was fun.
I had a good time.
I did too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Frida, welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy.
Well, hello, dear. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Just called to tell you how wonderful I think you are.
Oh.
I know you hear that from all the guys. I listen. I've never called before, but I've been listening for a year. I hear all the good things that they say, but your enthusiasm and your charisma comes right through the radio to me.
Well, you're very sweet. I'm glad that you listen.
You just keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much, ma'am.
You have a good night and a good day.
You too, sweetheart. Appreciate your phone call.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yet another virtual draft in the books. I wonder which draft will be the first to get back in front of actual fans. But I miss the booing. I miss the atmosphere. In Brooklyn, you would have had a lot of people booing when the Knicks were selecting at number 8. And I still say they got one of the steals of the draft in Obi Toppin, not expecting him to be there. So that's really cool. And I love that he's a Brooklyn native. I love that he's from New York and cannot wait to play for the Knicks. When was the last time somebody said that? But this could be the start of something new and fresh, Knicks fans. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. If you rent your home, Geico makes it easy to bundle home. Renters and car insurance or home and car insurance. I have my home insurance through Geico. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Let's start with CJ in Houston. Welcome to After Hours.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm going to try not to be the angry Houston guy, okay? So bear with me. I heard what you said about James Harden. I respect it, but at the same time, I feel like it's a lot of national bias with this whole James Harden trade. And
bias about what? What am I biased about?
Just how a lot of national guys are portraying this as if, like, basically the Rockets have just failed him and haven't been able to get him the talent, and it's like they've reached the ceiling, when that's not true. We've had one season with Westbrook, which he asked for because that was his guy, and his guy failed. His guy wasn't able to produce anything, and instead of him taking that and letting us try to retool and find a better player, you choose to leave on the side of him. Our team would have ran a lot smoother if we kept Chris Paul and Capella and ran it back. But they chose to follow what James Harden wanted and bring in his guy. Yet I keep hearing the national media keep going with, well, they didn't listen to James Harden.
Oh, dear Lord. CJ, if you're going to call my show, make sure you don't put words in my mouth. I never said that. I did not say anything like that. I said I didn't like their style of play. And if you look back the last couple of years, obviously this whole run and gun, chuck and duck, James Harden is shooting threes and everybody else shooting threes. I mean, they've fallen short. Chris Paul got injured in those conference finals a couple years ago against the Warriors, and maybe that would have changed things. But they have definitely hit a ceiling. wrestling. But never did I say they haven't tried. I just don't like their style. I don't think their style is one that can break through. But I would agree with you that in this situation, the Rockets have done everything they can. Now they're trying to change the personnel around them. But also they're worried about their finances. Let's be honest. I mean, they're choosing to be careful of their bottom line because what's coming. I agree with you that Harden's bailing. I think it's ridiculous to form a team with the Nets and your BFFs and have him and Kyrie in the same backcourt. And I think it'll be an unmitigated disaster. That's my opinion. I in no way have said anything about the Rockets not wanting to win and not putting pieces around him. So if you're going to come at me with a national bias, that at least realize I didn't say anything like that. I don't like their style of play. I've been very honest and open about that. But I agree with you. Harden is taking his ball and wanting to go somewhere else because he doesn't like how things turned out, except he's the reason why they turned out that way.
I mean, yeah, correct. Like I said, I'm not trying to say like you particularly said all these things. I'm just saying what I've been hearing as far as national media coverage of what's been going on. And what bothers me more than anything as a Rockets fan is to know that we've been there and we've watched the games and I've watched every game in these seasons and how they played out. And last year was literally one of the worst seasons. Because, one, the team wasn't together, mm-hmm. and they didn't have that camaraderie when they really needed it most.
Right.
And that's the only thing that the Lakers really had going for them. It wasn't the fact that the Lakers were really the best team in the bubble. Let's be honest. They just were the team that was just the most cohesive at the time when it happened because they had LeBron James. And for me, that bothers me because the Rockets had a chance. And if you don't get Westbrook and you run it back with Chris Paul and Capella, mm-hmm. you have a way better chance at winning this past year because why they played together, they had more time together.
Right.
It would have made for a better season. But like I said, I know COVID had a lot to do with it too, but the fact that as Rocket fans, especially as Houston fans in general, we already lost DeAndre Hopkins. Our baseball team was scrutinized all year. Our Texans team has been destroyed. And now we're losing our basketball team. And now basically our three major teams are basically an all-in rebuild.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to give you any sympathy for the Astros, man. That was a situation they created themselves. And they, you know, they paid for it by losing A.J. Hinch and the general manager. But they recovered well this year to make it to the ALCS. I forgot now. Now it's play. Is it? Did they make the ALCS or just the division series? Anyway, so that I can't give you any sympathy for. I would agree with you about DeAndre Hopkins, and I have been yelling about this every single week. And I even said this past weekend that if DeAndre Hopkins, was still on the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien might still be the head coach. I mean, that's how bad the trade was, and it just brutal. I mean, we're talking about franchise-altering trade and decision by Bill O'Brien. But as for the Rockets, you're right. James Harden didn't want to play with Chris Paul anymore. The two of them didn't really get along. He wants Westbrook. Westbrook goes. He deserts Oklahoma City and the fans there after committing to them, so they feel the same way. And I have to let you go because we're out of break, but just tell me this, CJ. If it didn't work with Westbrook, do you believe it will work with Kyrie?
Honestly, no. And I can't wait to see this fail and blow up in his face. And I can't wait to hear the excuses that they have in Brooklyn.
Agreed. I'm with you 100%. If it didn't work with Westbrook, another MVP who essentially will do anything out there on the court, but those two couldn't inhabit the same backcourt, why in the heck does anybody think it's going to work with Kyrie Irving? I mean, I don't. And then you have Kevin Durant, who also is ball dominant or, you know, is a volume shooter and needs to have the ball in his hands. Yeah, no, I actually think it would be as soap opera-ish as the NFC East. I kind of want to see it just out of morbid fascination. But I also hope the Rockets are like, heck no, man, we've got you under contract for 3 more years. Play here or sit on the damn bench.
Absolutely.
All right, CJ, we're on the same page, my friend. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
I feel like CJ and I came to an understanding there. But I get it. The national narrative is different than what it is in Houston. But I agree 100%. I mean, James Harden got what he got. you get what you get and you don't get upset. He got what he got. He got what he wanted and it didn't work. And they were even farther back from their goal than they were before they went out and got Westbrook. And it doesn't make either one of them a bad guy. This is not personal. Just their games didn't mesh. And that was really obvious. So if it didn't mesh with Westbrook, why the heck would it mesh with Kyrie? I don't know. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love to hear your responses. Also on our Facebook page. Stuff as fired up as I have been all week, and I'm not even sure that I thought it was possible considering how delirious I have been the last few hours. But you guys are the best.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
With the second pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the Golden State Warriors select James Wiseman from the University of Memphis.
There's no pressure. I've been playing this game for a long time, and I've been in winning traditions a lot, especially at Memphis East High School and college as well. So, I mean, I'm built for it, and I'm ready to learn, go in there and learn and grow my game and just adapt.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had interviews that were planned to do with various media outlets on Wednesday evening, but canceled those, presumably because of what happened with Klay Thompson and not having any definitive information, but maybe not wanting to have to talk about it. Bob Myers couldn't avoid it because he did a press conference and was kind of talking about them selecting James Wiseman. So, of course, he was fielding questions about Klay Thompson. But as for Steve Kerr, what he did was release a video on social media to talk about them selecting Wiseman number two overall out of Memphis.
James is incredibly talented. He's a great young man. We had a chance to watch him work out and have dinner with him a couple of weeks ago, and he was so impressive. He's just bursting with potential, and so we're excited to get him, and a lot of work ahead, but I think he's excited to be coming here, and we're excited to have him, and should be a great partnership.
And so as they fall from five consecutive NBA Finals, three titles, to one of the worst, or the worst record in the league, the number two overall pick, to now rebounding and grabbing a guy like James Wiseman, and the expectations for him, even though it could be a delayed kind of entry or a soft entry with so little prep time, you know, there should be a lot of excitement and I think anticipation that this team is not done or is going to rebound in a magical way. I mean, what have we been hearing from Steph Curry and Draymond Green and others is that the Warriors' window isn't closed. They still have a lot more to give. And yes, with the Splash Brothers, with Draymond, throwing Andrew Wiggins in the mix, who's had an opportunity to play with this team now for a few months, and with Steph a little bit, with Steve Kerr, with the management, the front office, you would expect, yes, maybe not an NBA Finals team again, but at least a contender in what is already a stacked West. And I think they were all kind of aiming for that collective goal of getting everybody back together and resuming their rightful place as challenger and contender, as a force to be reckoned with. And so, potentially devastating news on Wednesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We talked about this with Sekou Smith a little bit, but the NBA season is it's a unique blueprint. They're splitting the season in half. They're taking an extended All-Star break, but they're also hoping that will give them some flexibility when it comes to potential postponements of games and having to make up games with COVID. And Adam Silver did an interview on NBA TV, and he was asked about splitting that season in half and kind of this new model.
The idea to split the schedule in two was a result of the enormous uncertainty that we're all living in this pandemic. And so We thought, let's divide the season, put out a schedule from December 22nd until early March, and then go from there. And I think we realize, presumably, we'll learn a lot from the first half of the season. Of course, we're, unlike what we did in Orlando, we're going back into our team cities, playing in arenas. And not only is the course of the virus uncertain, but we're subject to various state and city regulations as well. So the thought was, you know, we're just got to start, and then we're going to see where it takes us.
Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, with a busy Wednesday himself, not only looking ahead to a season that tips in just over a month, but also conducting the virtual draft with the bright lights and the podium and the suit. So different than what we saw in Roger Goodell's basement in April, and I would say appropriate for April, because a lot of us were spending time hanging out in our homes and getting in our comfy clothes and only putting on jeans and a sweater or jeans and a collared shirt when we had to go to the grocery store, if then. I went to the grocery store last Saturday morning, and there were legit dozens of people in their pajamas and slippers. It was a chillier morning on Saturday, and so I guess people just decided they had to get out, but they weren't taking off their fleecy pajamas. That's one thing I've never done. There are two kinds of people in this world. Now, I have worn my slippers outside to take the dog. So late at night on a Friday or Saturday when I'm not coming to work, I have hard bottom slippers. So they're moccasins, really. So I will walk, not when it's wet out or raining, but if it's just a dry night and I'm taking Penny out to go to the bathroom, I'll wear my slippers. I have never in my life worn my pajamas outside of my house. I mean, maybe when I was a kid, my mom threw me in the car to go to a family member's home or whatever. But as an adult, I have never chosen to wear my pajamas into a public place. Have you, Producer never. Dave?
You've never done that.
No, why would I? Who wears their pajamas to the grocery store?
I do.
No way.
I swear.
You wear your pajamas to go buy your groceries.
I wear them everywhere except for to work.
If you ever show up in your pajamas to work, we're going to have all kinds of problems.
I wouldn't do that. But I've skipped the sweatpants phase or shorts when it's warm out when I get home. It is directly, do not pass go, do not collect $200, just put on the
yes,
pajamas.
When you're home, not yeah. When you go to the grocery store.
I walk my dog in the pajamas. I go to the food store in the pajamas. I'll wear sandals, sneakers.
Well, sandals, sneakers, I got you. But pajamas?
Oh, yeah. I like to be comfortable. I don't.
You can be comfortable without wearing your intimate pajamas.
I wouldn't call them intimate, but.
Those are your intimates. You sleep in them.
I like to be comfortable.
If you could see my mouth right now, it is agape, like wide open. Of all the things that I thought I knew about Producer Dave, that he'll eat anything that I bring to him, that he's a professional, that he, you know, we share a lot of my good ideas about how our show should sound. The man shops for groceries in his pajamas.
And only the pajamas.
I don't even know what to do with that.
There's nothing else to wear to the food store, in my opinion.
You're doing this just to shock me now.
Not even
a little
bit.
Have you encouraged your kids to wear their pajamas to the grocery store?
I'm okay with it. I think they've...
You're a family of shoppers in your pajamas?
Well,
you're a family of pajama shoppers?
I don't take the kids to the food store. So, not lately, you know, what's going on. But they go to school, they go every other day, so they've gone to school in their pajamas. School's okay with it. So I'm okay with it.
Oh my gosh. I am so out of touch and obviously completely uncool. Because that's just one thing I can't even fathom, leaving my house and going into a public place in my pajamas.
I don't know if it's about a level of coolness. It's just looking for comfort. I want to be comfortable.
So you don't, what do you have against sweatpants?
I like sweatpants. It's another level of comfort when you go straight to the pajamas.
I'll just be honest and tell you, I don't often wear sweatpants even to the grocery store. So I generally wear jeans or I don't wear yoga. So there's been a phase lately and I have some younger girlfriends who wear yoga pants everywhere. I don't even wear yoga pants I wear them, but I wear them to work out. I wear them to the gym. I wear them to yoga class. I wear them to run in. I don't wear them to the grocery store either. So maybe I'm just old. I'm old, Dave. You can say it.
No.
I'm too old for pajamas at the grocery store, except you, my friend, are not that much younger than me, so.
This is true. I think I'm older than you, actually. But
in spirit and in truth.
I have no shame in it. I don't mind it at all, and I don't care what it looks like. It probably looks ridiculous, especially the flannel ones that stand out and stuff like that.
Yeah, plaid flannels, the kind you would wear on Christmas morning?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
In fact, I get a new pair every year because they know I wear them so often.
You wear them out. Please do not wear your worn out pajamas to the grocery store because that's gross.
No.
We do not need to have a show, any kind of, you know, like, you know what I'm saying here.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm okay with being old if that makes me old. I have no problem with that. But yeah, no, I don't know. I just feel like there's a level of privacy and intimacy that comes with pajamas, and I'm not really sure I want to share that with the world. So good for you. You're definitely comfortable in your own skin and pajamas. I like that about you. Okay, good. Let's talk to Jared, who's in Dallas. Jared, we give you about 60 seconds. Sorry for the pajama conversation. What do you think?
Hey, in producer Dave's defense, I'm sure that has to minimize laundry.
So in his wife's defense, yes.
So for the just a quick point on the James Harden potential trade, the Nets or whatever, I can't wait to see it if it happens. I want to see that dumpster fire. I think it's going to be hilarious.
Agreed.
But there was two reasons why I watched the draft last night. One, I'm a Mavericks fan, so I was wanting to see if they were going to trade out of the 18th or maybe even the 31st pick. I never expected the 36th pick. Second reason was for Tyrese Maxey. He actually went to the same high school that I did.
Wow.
I watched him play in the high school playoffs his junior year, and the dude is a monster. So I was already expecting that he was going to do great things, especially when John Calipari came and recruited him personally for Kentucky. So I was pretty excited for him. Unfortunately, he went three picks later to the Sixers, but still, nonetheless, I'm happy for him.
Good. Number 21, He went out of Kentucky to the Sixers. I'll give you five more seconds, and I got to let you go.
Overall, this is probably the best Dallas draft defensively, all-around players. I'm happy for them. I think they did great.
Good, Jared. I like the enthusiasm. Thank you so much for that phone call. We're glad that we were able to squeeze you in before the music there at the top. I guess it does minimize laundry. So considering that your wife does all the cooking, as you've a lot of the cooking, as you've indicated, and probably does.
I do some laundry.
That's good. You should do your own pajamas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.